So welcome everybody, this is a talk about B-Builder. And to make sure that everyone is on the same page, I'll try to explain who I am and why I'm speaking here. Does everybody know my name is Junichi Uekawa? Of course, everyone can pronounce it. Yeah. And I was surprised the other day that Steve Langasek could spell my name. So that's very impressive. And I usually live in Japan. I have been Debian developer since around the year 2000. And my usual interests are about audio processing. I play around with the localization stuff and also some package quality assurance stuff. And P-Builder is one of them. And this week, I have been hacking on, well, for the last 2 days, I've been playing with the apt-list bugs for playing with the BTS. So I'm doing that kind of stuff usually. Okay, so what I wanted to do was to talk about what around P-Builder is happening. Okay, so how many people heard of P-Builder today? Grab your hands. Okay, so everyone knows about P-Builder. That's great. How about P-Builder UML? How many people know about them? Only about half-ish. Well, that's a bit minor because user mode Linux is less easy to set up. How many people know about CowBuilder? Well, there's more people. That's impressive. And how many people know about GemuBuilder? Okay, one person. Oh, three. Great. So I think there's something that people don't know about that I can talk. Great. So I think everybody knows about this. What is the concept of P-Builder? How would you explain? To explain P-Builder to a new person, you probably need to explain what is a chroot. I think everybody in this room is comfortable with the concept of chroot. Who is not comfortable with the concept of chroot in this room? Okay. Well, I'll explain anyway. So if you're using P-Builder, by default, you're creating a chroot inside a directory which is called var cache P-Builder build something something, and you have a whole Debian installation under that directory. So you're usually working underneath it. And when you're using the chroot command, you'll be doing chroot and the directory name and the command you're using, in which case you usually use something like bin bash to get a shell prompt inside chroot. So that's very simple. And the normal operation of P-Builder is to have a base.tgz file, which is a tar.gz of the chroot image. So you have the Debian installation under a subdirectory, which is extracted and recreated from the base TGZ every time you run P-Builder. So that's the 30 seconds you wait for every time you type P-Builder. Oh, seconds? OK, you have a fast machine. Then, OK, how do I use P-Builder? How many people here do not know how to use P-Builder? Okay, so I'll explain. It's good. To set up P-Builder, you just get apt-get install P-Builder. Debian is great. So you just install the package, and you have to actually configure the package because I haven't actually gotten around to setting it up through debconf or. So you have to edit the mirror place in the pbuilder.rc, which specified by default ftp jp debian.org, which is a pretty bad default, but it's one of the full mirrors. FTP Debian org only has the major architectures. So FTPJP Debian org has all the architectures available. But it's very slow from the rest of the world, except for a few countries, including Japan. So. And then you might want to start by reading the fine manual, which is in user share doc pbuilder pbuilder.doc.pdf. How many people have actually found that there is a manual? Great. So I think there's about 10 people who knew about the manual, and the rest of people didn't know. Well, you do know now. So great. So we do have a man page. There is a pretty big documentation about pbuilder, which has all the tips and tricks and how to do when such errors occur. And what kind of commands do you use when you run pbuilder? And I drew a diagram just for the sake of it. You usually run pbuilder create once, then you do pbuilder update every time something changes in the distribution. And you run pbuilder build to build a package inside the base.tgz. A few years ago, you only needed to do pbuilder update once every day. However, because the archive is updated twice every day, you have to do it twice every day, which is a bit annoying because pbuilder update is a bit slow, but not too bad. So for anyone who hasn't seen the pbuilder create output, it starts with something like this and goes very long. How many people haven't seen pbuilder create output? I think there are about 10 or so people here. But pbuilder create runs the bootstrap, which essentially does most of Debian installation. So it takes several minutes, I think, on a fast machine. But you only have to do it once, and it will create a base tgz. Then you will do pbuilder update, which will update the chroot with a apt-get update and upgrade, so that you have the up-to-date system every day, or twice every day. Then you will be able to build a package inside the chroot with a pbuilder build, where you specify the description, Debian DSC file, and it will build inside the chroot. It's kind of simple. How many people think it's very difficult? OK, a few people. That's good. And there are some other features, such as pbuilder login, where you can log in to the chroot. Initially, I didn't design pbuilder for such work, but it turned out it's very useful. And there are other dedicated tools like sroot for having a login, but pbuilder login seems to be very useful as well. How many people use pbuilder login regularly? Okay, so it's a needed feature. I try not to break it. Okay, and there's a tool called pdebuild, which kind of mimics the build command, so that you don't have to type in pbuilder build DDSC every time you have to build a package. How many people use pdebuild? Great. One thing is that pdebuild is not exact copy of debuild command, and it does things slightly differently than debuild. So that's one problem, but I've been working on it to be more closer to debuild, so getting better sometimes. And to run debuild, you have to be in a Debian source directory, where you have the Debian directory. So how many people do not know what a Debian source directory would be? OK, So I don't have to explain that. Well, it's the directory where you can ls debian rules and you find debian rules file. And you run debuild and you will try to build a package inside the druid. We create a source, tarball, and other stuff, then create, then run the pbuilder on the source, on the source package that's created. So it will run Debian rules clean on a directory, and it will run Debian rules clean outside of your druid. If you don't like that, you can run with a use pdebuild internal command. How many people know that obscure feature of the use pdebuild internal? Okay, about 5 people. There's that feature of running Debian rules clean inside the druid so that you don't have to satisfy the dependencies outside of druid. It's sometimes useful. So I was wondering, how do you maintain your package today? You receive a bug report and probably get an upstream package. Then you edit your package, build it, fail, edit, build, install locally, test it, fail, edit, build, test, install. Then maybe pbuilder comes along and you build the package and say, well, it looks good, it can upload it, and upload. Is that the way you work or something else? Mostly, yep. Okay, maybe you should test it after a pbuilder build. That's a good point. How many people do that? Ah, sorry, I'm naughty. I haven't put it there. Okay, so you should test your package after your pbuilder build. Then, well, when you think the package is ready, you should probably do a deb sign. How many people not know there's a deb sign command? Okay, so there's deb sign command, which is for signing your Debian package. And then you can use the debuild command to upload your package to the Debian archive. Then, I would like to talk about the different backends pbuilder has. There are different possible backends like LVM, UML, CowDance, and QEMU. How many people have used more than one of these? Only about 3 or 4 people? Okay. The motivation is that pbuilder based TGZ creation is sometimes slow. And also, the druids do not have segregation on process space. So if you're running something inside a druid and it's running as root privilege, it can affect outside of druid, theoretically. So to make the segregation better, there are tools like QEMU and UML. And to improve the speed of tarball extraction, I can use LVM and UML and CowDance and QEMU and other solutions. So that's the basic motivation for the other backends and exploration. So for UML, this process space is completely different from the druid. And it has a cow block device support, which means that I can run pbuilder on a block device, and the writes to the block device will be written to a different file, and I can throw that file away to keep the original state, which means I don't have to keep on extracting the tarball every time, and it's very fast. However, UML itself is not very fast. So that was the first try, which I've done 5 years ago. Some people use it, but it hasn't been very widely used because it's only available on i386 and only recently being enabled on AMD64 and not available on PowerPC and other architectures. And there's this car builder thing. Basically what it does is to, instead of extracting the turbo, it has a root tree extracted already, and we do a cp-al of that tree. What cp-al does is to create a hard link of every file. And then I run a chroot, and instead of a bash, I run cow shell. What cow shell does is to protect file writes. And when it detects there's a file write, it will try to copy and unlink the hard link so that it will preserve the files. So this tool, Cow Dancer, is pretty useful for other purposes than pBuilder. And I have received a patch for using Cow Dancer for dpatch edit patch. So when you need to have some temporary stuff and you want to maintain the differences, Cow Dancer is pretty interesting choice. The Cow Dancer, however, it uses the concept of LD preload of doing a Cow Dancer.so, which overrides the functions which are likely to change files. The problem is that open and other stuff is preloaded through LD preload, but it's not perfect. So not everything works. The implementation is lightweight in a sense that you don't have to have a block device dedicated to the copy and write file system, and you don't need a kernel space file system. Currently, there's no mainstream kernel space file system which supports the cow support, I think. I don't think UnionFS has done it yet. So currently, you need a kernel patch to get a cow file system, and or you need to do a LVM snapshot, which means you need to have an LVM volume. So Cow Dancer is pretty lightweight because you just have a directory and have the cow directory on top of it. And you just have to run the cp-al and cow shell into it. And after working, you can just rml-rf the directory, which is pretty simple. And then there was this craziest idea about QM Builder, which when I woke up one morning in the New Year's this year, I just wanted to have a QM Builder. Because there was this cool thing called KVM, which was exciting most of the kernel developers. So I wanted an implementation pBuilder which runs on KVM. How many people know about KVM as in K virtual machine? Okay. So, well, QM Builder is essentially a command line tool to run pBuilder on KVM virtual machines. It will create a KVM virtual machine, well, QM virtual machine, and update Debian packages into it and build packages inside that virtual machine. And as a side effect, you can, because QM supports multiple architectures, you can run build packages for other architectures, which is an interesting side effect. However, QM builder is not that easy to set up because you need a kernel to set up QMU. And this is an example of a QM builder configuration. You need to give it kernel image and init rd image. So you need to get that. Unfortunately, for MIPS, there's a DI image which works. So I can use the DI image. And also for MIPSL, I can use a DI image. For other architectures, I cannot really use the DI image. So I'm sort of wondering how I can find a kernel image and init rd suitable for QEMU, because it's not currently readily available. We have the kernel images, but we don't have the init rd images available in the Debian archive. Is that correct? I think there are some teams, members of the kernel team, but I think that's the situation. So what QEMU Builder does is that it creates a base qcow image, which is a raw device file, a raw file of the QEMU raw device file format, which is just a file which can be loop mounted. And I formatted it at X3 and loop mounted build directory. And I just run the bootstrap with a cross option. What this cross option does is that I can boot into the file system and run the bootstrap second stage to set up the rest of the system. So I can run the bootstrap to obtain the root file system of that architecture without being that architecture, being able to run dpkg in that architecture. So I just extract the files into that directory, into this device. Then as a second stage QEMU Builder, I have an init script which tries to find an HDB device file and run script from it. So I can just stuff a new file system, new loopback file system, which has all the commands and scripts and DSC files in it, so that I can script easily. So this is the architecture of QEMU Builder, and kind of works. How many people actually ran QEMU Builder and got working? Okay, nobody, because it's very difficult, and manual page is lacking. The next upload should fix most of the problems. And when you run QEMU Builder, you would just invoke it like QEMU Builder, create, and a config mix.config, that kind of stuff. And I have a wiki page to document all this stuff. And for update, you just do QEMU Builder update config, mix.config. Simple. Then to build a package, I just can build a build on config and something disk file. The only problem is that because I use loopback mounted file systems, I need to be root to do all this. QEMU shouldn't require root privilege, but some parts of it, the current implementation QEMU Builder requires root privilege, which is not too good. I was hoping to get it fixed. And another thing is that because it uses the QEMU system emulation, it's not that great in performance. I've been told that QEMU user emulation might be a little bit faster than the system emulation because there's less overhead in MMU emulation. However, I have not yet explored very deeply into that. I have done some exploration and there are some blockers. So we will need some playing around with it. Then you have the QEMU Builder up and working. So you can just do QEMU Builder login and log into the prompt, which might say just. So you can have a shell prompt, with just QM builder create and QM builder login, and you have a prompt which says uname hyphen a is MIPS, which sounds pretty cool. How many people think it's cool to have a MIPS shell prompt at your fingertips? Okay, we're geeks. And there are other ideas about PBuilder. That because you're running PBuilder and you're going to upload it to Debian Archive, you want to test it, right? You're going to test it, but you're going to do the same test again and again. You're going to install it and remove it, and you do some manual testing. So why not script it? So there are some example scripts in PBuilder, which does some scripted testing. And it's documented in the manual. And I'm hoping that I'll get some more documentation up after this talk. And while I was not looking, there were many other implementation of other testing tools and related tools. There are similar functionality as PBuilder logins is provided by SGroot. So how many people use SGroot? Okay. Why do you use SGroot and PBuilder? That's a mystery to me. Because you don't really need PBuilder. Maybe you do. I don't know. But one thing I think is a problem is that we have similar files, like the root file system in both SGroot and PBuilder, and cannot share it. It should be mostly similar, I think. So if anyone's got good ideas, I would be glad to share them. Also, so there are stuff like pupparse and auto package test. I'm not sure if anyone ever tried auto package test, but there's a Debian package, and I couldn't figure out how to use it, but I guess somebody should. On PBuilder, it has been my project, but it cannot be possible to be like this in this state without support of all the people. And recently, it has been mostly due to Loic Minier, I don't know how to pronounce his name, and Mattia Dongi Li, and Matt Cry. Most people, I don't know how to pronounce, but other people, as in, there's an authors and thanks file, which I want to thank everyone, and other people who have sent me suggestions. They have been great, and I enjoy doing much of the PBuilder work. And there are references. For more information, you can look at the documentation files in user share doc. And there's an Aliath project page. The documentation user share doc is copied onto the website. So you can search the Google, and you go to pbuilder.aliath.debian.org, and you see the HTML version of the documentation, which is kind of good. And actually, PBuilder is maintained in Git. So there's a Git repository if you like Git. Okay, questions?
Could you talk a bit more about using LVM with PBuilder? Because that's the main reason I use SGroot now, is just because I got really sick of waiting for the tarball to unpack.
Okay. For LVM PBuilder, I have been working on it for the last hour. So yeah, it kind of exists, but I haven't sort of put into much care as it is. So it doesn't really exist. And because I have been working on CowDancer, I didn't see much value in LVM PBuilder, because CowDancer does most of the stuff. And most of the disadvantage of tarballs are eliminated with CowBuilder. But since the LVM seems to be quite stable, I see some value in it, and I want to work on that version.
Okay. Two or three days ago, I set up a SCH root environment here on my notebook, and basically you can get it to run completely without pBuilder. It's a bit, you need to find some way to satisfy the dependencies, and the tutorial I followed suggested sbuild for that, which turned out to be even more complicated. So, yeah, I agree it would be good to have just a pluggable backend for pBuilder that you can just swap it in. At the moment, I think the whole setup, if you don't do something else than just the basic pBuilder, it's still a bit complicated.
Yes.
While I did that and then looked at the CowDancer again, I noticed that I actually have some copy and write stuff on my system anyhow because I use the vServer patch. So do you know of anybody who has used that that kernel function to do something pBuilder like or? Do you know what I mean?
Linux vServer. What's the question?
Linux vServer allows you to share files between CH roots and the kernel. You can do hard linking, and the kernel will do link breaking actually for you. So, do you know anybody who has tried to use that with pBuilder?
I think a few people try to use them, and pBuilder has a mode for exploring that stuff. Called Notargz mode, which is using user mode Linux and other stuff, and LVM mode as well. So if you are inclined, you can use the Notargz mode for exploring the functionality with the other file systems.
Okay,
it would be interesting.
One question which I have is whether you have ever thought of combining pBuilder with fake CH root, because in some cases you might want to prefer not to use root writes and maybe set up something like fake CH root and combine that with pBuilder in order to prevent root privileged access.
Okay. For that, I think I did receive a patch about using fake root in pBuilder. And I think that's one interesting thing. But I have some concerns that fake root might be too different on the environment for building packages. Having said that, I'm already using CowDancer, which is already a bigger hack than fake root. Maybe in some ways. So it might be time to incorporate that. Doesn't fake root already have how to on running pBuilder under fake root on some configurations? I think it did some time ago. No, maybe. Probably needs exploration again.
Well, to answer your question about root and pBuilder interop. I actually use pBuilder to create tables that I fed to Shroot. It's mainly because Shroots are persistent across reboots, whereas pBuilder login is not. And, well, that works quite well.
Okay.
So, the same topic of Jeremy. I'm using sthroot, and I would like to know if it's possible to make it interact well with CowDancer, because I would like to use sthroot for logging in, to just changing in my sthroot and using that initialization stuff, but I don't see where it should be incompatible with CowDancer.
Okay. So I haven't investigated too much about it, so I'd like to see how sthroot does maintain the base image. And I think it does it by LVM, Okay. So if it, well, I could hack some code as a hack for SGRUD maybe, or other way. And it could be that if there's just a plain files, then you can just use it as the base cow image for the code. So I don't see why it shouldn't work.
Okay, I have a recommendation for people using pbuilder login with bind mounts. Only bind mount the stuff you actually need. Don't bind mount your whole home directory, because if you are lucky enough to find a new bug in pbuilder, then it will delete your whole home directory.
Okay, yes. Bind mounts has been a very dangerous option to use when you have a very lucky person to find a bug, because it tends to erase all of your home directory sometimes. Yes.
Yes, you say that you did not consider UnionFS because of requiring an external kernel module. But there is also Fuse UnionFS, and Fuse is included in latest kernels.
Oh, yes.
So it could be a nice addition to CowBuilder mode.
Mm. Yes. The main thing about CowBuilder is that the time when I designed it is like 1 or 2 years ago. And at that time, the situation was pretty bad. There were many the transparency file systems, and there were so many being created and obsolete at the time that it didn't look like it was possible to choose something. But it seems like the situation has become more stable and better, so it might be a time to revisit the situation. Thank you.
Have you tried using Fuse X2 for instead of loop mounting the QMU images?
No. Also, there's an X2 Fuse image. That sounds very interesting. I need to try that.
Hi. First things, I just have to extend my thanks for all the work that you've done on this, because it saved me and I'm sure many others countless number of hours in the work that we do for Debian. My question is, I maintain a large number of truths for different architectures and distributions for both Debian and Ubuntu, and I find that now there's a growing overhead that I spend with just administrating all of these different truths. And I was wondering if you had considered spending time developing administrative tools for these, for managing, keeping them up to date, and creating and deleting, et cetera.
Okay. The only administration tool, administration you do with pbuilder is that pbuilder update. So talking about administration of truths, I just run pbuilder update on every architecture. And with QMBuilder, I will have so many truths or QMU images for each architecture that such administration will be an interesting topic. It hasn't been an interesting topic before because there's only one base GGZ to maintain about. But since there's an explosion number, your question is a very interesting question. But since it has only been in existence for like a few weeks, I haven't actually considered it yet. Thank you.
I was thinking, since currently the version is 0.170 in Git, I was wondering what do you have in mind for 1.0? What features do you have in mind for 1.0?
Okay, good question. Well, to get to 1.0, I just usually use Control-C and Control-V in Emacs changelog mode, which just increases by 1. And I don't know how it can get to 1 ever, because I just continue doing that. And I don't really have anything in mind about for 1.0. Is there any other questions or comments? Is it good? Oh.
Well, maybe I'm just asking something foolish or something. But since it's being used, PBuilder, usually to build, is there a way you could like hook on the some script to filter the build logs? For example, the II64 people have a number of filters they use to look for warnings and some things. And maybe if you could automate that hooking of filters onto that, it would be a helpful feature to help debug.
That could be interesting. If, for example, if it highlights some typical problems. Yes. If there's anybody who's working on that kind of stuff, that I'd be very interested to incorporate it. Currently, you just have to look at the logs manually and maybe grab for all the logs. Okay.
At one time, I had set up on a Spark system that was going through and rebuilding everything that had failed a build on the normal Spark build daemons, and submitting a bunch of bug reports on that, because at that time the build admin was not spending a lot of time filing bug reports, requeuing things that just needed requeued, and so on and so forth. So I have used PBuilder extensively, and it worked very well for me.
Thank you.
Thanks for PBuilder. It's really a charm and helpful. There's one thing I might question if you, a sort of feature request. If you could add an option to log in after the build was done, so that you don't drop back to the outer system, but stay in the change route, and maybe after building can investigate if there was a problem, especially, but also do test installs and things like that within the change route.
Okay, I think this should be the last question, maybe time. And there's actually an answer to the question in the manual. Aha! And there's the hook scripts feature. And we have an example hook scripts which runs shell or GNU screen when your build fails, so you can explore inside the root. And that's one of the very often requested feature, which I actually did implement.
Oh, then I think I might have overlooked it. It's probably not well enough, prominently enough documented.
Yeah, so if you search for a heart in the manual, you should find it somewhere. Well, you can do interactive.
I was also looking for the same an explanation to the same problem. It's not apparent that you can do interactive things in the hook script. I only thought it was for some scriptable things.
Yes, but there you can run GNU screen inside it, and GNU screen is as instructive as you can get. Okay, so I think it's time now. Yeah, so I'd like to thank everyone for coming and talking about PBuilder. I like PBuilder, and I like people who use it. Yeah.